Tonight's shiur in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Midrash Tanchuma says, Nisayon harishon k'nisayon ha'achron. Seemingly that the first Nisayon that Avraham Avinu had was equal to the last Nisayon. Nisayon harishon melech lecha me'artzecha. The first Nisayon was beginning of the Sedra, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, when he left his land to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Nisayon Acharon was Lech Lecha L'Eretz Maria, also Lashon of Lech Lecha. And therefore the Midrash compares the two, that they're seemingly the same. So the question is obvious. How could one possibly compare the Nisayon of Lech Lecha to that Nisayon of the Akedah? To say that they're the same. And what's more, it's even hard to understand Bichlal, the Nisayon of Lech Lecha, because Hashem told him something good. Lech Lecha v'yascha lecha l'goy gadol, v'avarechecha v'agad l'shemecha, v'yei bracha, Lech Lecha l'hanascha l'tovascha, it's for your good, for your hana, Hashem told him. So it's a good thing, you know, and whereas Lech Lecha el Eretz Maria was take your son and shechta. So, first of all, you know, what was even the Nisayon of Lech Lecha, and to say that it's equal to that of the Akedah? So he explains, it gives him halach based on the Gemara in Sukkah, Nun Beis Amud Aleph. It says, Sekola gadol mechavero yitzrol gadol mimenu. Famous Chazal, the greater the person, the greater the yitzer hara the person has. So at first glance, it doesn't sound really fair. You know, it sounds like, as they say, chote niskar. Right, the guy that's on a low level, he's niskar, he's benefits, he doesn't have to deal with such a difficult yetzahara. It's not fair. Why does he get the easy yetzahara to take care of, and the someone who's greater, he gets a harder, has to deal with a different, more difficult yetzahara, bigger yetzahara. It's not fair. So he explains that question is only because we don't understand properly what the function of the yetzahara is. The yetzahara is not there to punish a person, some to trip a person up, and then it would be a good question. You know, why are we punishing the tzaddik more than the greater person, more than the lesser person? So it's not the pshat. The yetzahara lafech is there to build a person, and every person is on his level, and he has his the Reb Dessler says the nekudas habechira. Everybody at his level has his decisions to make, you know, to do this or not to do that, and the yetzirah is there to, you know, to test him, to make it a little bit difficult for him. And if he was able to overcome that, the yetzirah, then very good, it strengthens him, right? He's able to get by that, and that gives him strength, and then he can go on to the next level. He goes to the next level, he gets the next yetzirah, which has to be, of course, stronger. He's on a higher level now. But then if he's able to conquer that, then he goes to the next level, etc., etc. And each level, of course, is a greater yetzirah. He's on a higher level. So, therefore, it's, and along the way, it's he gets more schar, right? Because lefum tzar agra, the harder it is, the more schar he gets. So that's a pshat in the yetzirah. So with that, so we can understand the midrash. And that we started with, that we said that the first Nisayon is like the last Nisayon. Doesn't mean it was the same. It was the same in that it was each one was on Avraham Avinu's level, right? When the first test he had, he was on the lower level because he hadn't yet passed the 10 tests. So he had to. It was basically a small Yitzhar, an easier test, because that's what level he was on. But then, after he passed that, he got to the next level, and he got the next test, and the next level, next test, until he got the hardest test, after he had passed the other nine, so therefore he built himself up from one level to the next, and next, until he got to the final test. And so that, yes, the first test was like the last test, in that each was according to his level, where he started from, where he grew to. And he says, and therefore we can understand why Hashem did it in this way. He could have just said, well, okay, let's see how great Avram is. We'll give him the Akedah to do and finish one big test. See what he does and let him pass it and finish. He said, no, because it could be he wouldn't have passed it. Because he had to first go through the 10 steps, the 9 steps before that, and grow from level to level to level. And only then he was able to pass the final test of the Akedah, after he grew from the previous test. Next, the pasuk says, "Vayhi riv bein roe mikne Avram uvein roe mikne Lot." There was a fight between the shepherds of Avram, the shepherds of Lot. Why? Because the shepherds of Lot, they were taking their animals, they were grazing in other people's fields. And of course, Avram was not happy with that they're involved with Gesel. So he was giving them Musar and started a little arguments. Whatever. And they said, "V'yom Avram, therefore, a lot al nati miriva beinu beinecha bein raya bein reyecha. There shouldn't be fights between me and you and our shepherds. Ki anashim achim anach, like us. After all, we're brethren, we're family. Let's not get into fights." And therefore, he said, "Maybe we should go our own ways." So there's a interesting Rabbeinu Yosef Bechor Shor, the Perushim on Chumash, and he says that the way things were standing right now, it would be a ganai. Why? Because people would say, look, Avram Avinu, he's fighting with his own family. He's fighting with them. Can you imagine with other people? Huh? You see, and he concludes, the Ra'im Heim. Right, these are bad people, and Avram didn't want to get a name of being a bad person. And therefore, he says, we gotta go our own ways over here. So he asks, I don't understand. He says, come on, that's what people are gonna say. Oh, Avram's a bad person because he's fighting with Lot. I mean, they can see what do you mean fighting? Why is he fighting with them? He's telling them not to graze in other people's fields, and they see how Avram's animals have a muzzle on them; they shouldn't eat in the fields, and Lot's animals do not. And Avram's, giving them musar. So people are going to say, "Look, they're fighting." What do you mean, oh, fighting? What? Avram is trying to straighten out Lot, and he's bad. What do you mean bad? Avram Avinu, the one who has his tent open on all four sides, and guests coming in and constantly of giving them free food and drink or whatever, is it a bad person? People are going to say, well, what's pshat? So he says a big yesod in the nature of people, unfortunately. And that is that people always seem, so no matter what the situation is, people always seem to hone in on the negative points. Now, something could be 95% good, 99% good, and 1% bad. What are people going to focus in on? That 1% bad. That's what they're going to see. That's what they're going to learn from. And so, too, same thing over here. Yeah, Avram was good. He's giving him Musar. But, he's, arguing with Lot. That, out of the whole picture, what are they going to take out of it? Oh, Avram's bad. He's fighting with his family. His own family. That's what they're going to see from this whole picture. But maybe with his off, he's doing it to trade and straighten him out. He's doing this and that. That's all true, but people always seem to focus on the bad. Bring some examples of this. Gemara says in Yerushalmi, Moikat and Perik Beit Halacha Beis, the Rav Yanai had a vineyard. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to work your vineyard on Chol HaMoed, but if it's a davar aved, if it's gonna, the vineyard's gonna die or whatever, the plants are gonna die, so you're allowed to do the minimum to keep it alive, and you don't have to take a loss. So he did malacha on Chol HaMoed when his vineyard there was mutter, the davar aved it's called. So what happened? He said, people saw that he was doing this, and they also went out into the vineyard and started working their vineyard on Chol HaMoed. Of course, not when they weren't allowed to. He was doing it outside of Davar Avet. But they said, hey, he's working in a vineyard, so we'll work in a vineyard. So Rav Yanai saw what was happening. People were learning from him the wrong lesson. So he decided, okay, he'll change things the next Chol HaMoed. Next Chol HaMoed rolled around. What did he do? He not only did he not work his vineyard, he mafkered his vineyard. He said, my vineyard is hefker. Right, that he wanted. So he thought, okay, people will take the lesson, now, and so this is, you're not supposed to work. Okay, he's mafkering his vineyard. So what happened? He says people didn't go mafker their vineyard. What's pshat? He says because people learn from the bad, right? When he was working, I think that they took out. Oh, working on that's what they took out. That's the lesson. The quote unquote bad part, but the good that he was mafkering his vineyard. They shouldn't work. That they don't learn from. People only learn from the bad. Don't learn from the good. The lashon of the Gemara, there's yalfe mitkalkalta velo yalfe mitakanta. People learn from the kalkala, from the bad thing, and not from the takanta, not from the good thing. Similarly, there's a maisa with the Chazon Ish in where he was davening, and a man came with his son, a little boy, to brought him to shul, and the kid was a rambunctious type, and he was running around and this and that. So the father gets really angry, and you know, in the middle of davening, and he gets called, kind of grabs his son, he starts screaming at him, ah, I have to be quiet and chill, don't you know not to run around, and you screaming like crazy, obviously lost his temper, screaming at the kid. So after davening, the Chazon Ish called him over, and he basically told him this yesod. He said, listen, he says, you taught your son two things today. One thing, you taught him how you have to behave yourself in shul, maskim. The other thing you taught him was how to lose your temper. Okay, now, which lesson do you think your son's going to take home with him? We said, right, the good lesson of how you behave yourself, what is he going to pick up? Get angry, and sure, he get angry, bichlal, good, so that's what he's going to take home with him. That's a lesson, that's the way people are. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita brings in the Sefer Arches Yosher, also a similar idea from a Gemara in Menachos, Samaches, Samad Beis. Says that once Rabbi Tarfon, he had a kasha and a certain halacha, he didn't have difficulty in a certain halacha. And one of his Talmidim, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nechemia, he gave pshat. Rabbi Tarfon had difficulty, does his Talmid, Rabbi Yehuda gave pshat. So Rabbi Tarfon heard, he said, oh, good, you know, got a good pshat. He didn't say anything, he just heard. And Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, you know, Rabbi Tarfon didn't say I'm wrong. He means he agrees with me. You see, so aha, I got him. Right? I knew something my Rebbe didn't know. He didn't say those words. He didn't say anything. But his face lit up as if he was saying that, like, ah, I got my Rebbe. So Rabbi Akiva was there, and he turned to Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmud, and he says, you're so happy with yourself that you got one over your Rebbe. He says, you're not going to live very long. He's not going to live long. What happened? This was around the Pesach time. By Shavuos time, he was Nifter. So Chaim asks, he says, I don't understand. This Rabbi Yehuda, or Nechem, he was a Chashev Talmid. He was one day would grow up to be a great Gadol B'Yisrael. So why would Rabbi Akiva, take away his life? You know, okay, he did something wrong, whatever, but come on. You know, so he says, because this war, fine, he's going to grow up and be a gadol one day. But if he has this midah, he's happy with the downfall of somebody else, the Rebbe downfall. So what are his talmidim going to learn from him? Instead of learning him, they're learning the pshat and the gemara, they're going to learn from him how to be happy at the downfall of your Rebbe, etc. Right? Again, that's why people are. What do they learn from? They learn from the bad things of a person, the bad midah, instead of learning from all the good. So he says, so keeping him alive, he's going to, what's going to happen to his Talmidim? They're going to pick up all the bad traits, his bad traits, and that's not going to die. Finally, this an interesting idea from Rabbi Yecheskel Levinstein. Yecheskel used to say that Erev Shabbos, the Shlach brings down, is one of the times of tshuva. Shlach says this. And he says a taicha and drash on the words Chayav Adam Lamashrish Begadav Be'erev Shabbos, and he learns that Bag Begadav or Bogdav. Now it's his, he has to mimashrish his thing. He has to look into his ways, his Bogdav, his Chataim, his sins. Person has to check when on Erev Shabbos, right? Lifnei Chashecha, as we say, Erev Shabbos im Chashecha, we say in the Mabim Likin. So they darshan out. You have to check into your sins on Erev Shabbos. We say Erev Shabbos is a very chashev time. He said, yet, says Rabbi Yecheskel, what do you notice? He says, what shacharis and seder limud is the most weakest as far as attendance goes in the week? Friday morning, the shacharis is the most shvach, and the seder, people learning Friday morning. He says, but Erev Shabbat is supposed to be a chash of time. Well, what's going on? Where is everybody? So he says, you know where it came from? He says, it came from this concept called mishmar. What's mishmar? That people that are concerned about their learning, whatever, chashev people, what they do, decided to stay up all Thursday night, so the end of the week, stay up all Thursday night learning, like Shavuos, and then daven early, first time, or fesikin, at nights, and then, of course, have something to eat, whatever, and go to sleep. They're up all night. So that's called mishmar, very chashev. But what happens? What do people learn from that? They see, hey, not very many people in Shacharis, and look, people are learning here in the morning, on Friday morning, in the Beis Medrash. So what they pick up from that, oh, okay, I guess, I have to go to Shacharis to learn. right? The Mishmar, they didn't pick up. It's because they're learning, staying up all night learning and davening fasiking. No, that they don't pick up. What do they pick up? The bad part of the, they're not there for shacharis and not there in the morning seder. The bad they pick up, they don't pick up the good. So that's where this rotten minhag came. Moving right along. Says in the pasuk, "Vayavo ha-palit vayaged l'Avram ha-ivri." So what happened? Lot was taken captive after the war between the four and the five kings. Lot was taken captive, and Og, he was a survivor of the Mabul. He came to Avram, and that's the palit, the refugee, and he told Avram, "Lot is captured." So Avram says, "You know, took therefore his talmidim or Eliezer, whatever it was, and went in to free Lot." So Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it down, that what was Lot's intent? Og's intent? Og's intent was, in telling Avram about Lot, was that Avram should go and try to save his nephew and be killed in the process, he assumed. You know, how is he going to, you know, single-handedly take care of these people? And he'll be killed. And then Og said, "Great, then I'll be able to marry Sarah." That's what Rashi brings down. And he did this very selfishly. He wanted Avram killed so he can marry Sarah. So he asks, he says, why would you say that about Og? Why? I mean, here you see a guy, you know, he left to where he was. He went all the way to Beersheba, you know, to tell Avram, you know, about Lot, whatever. Why would he say, to get it? How do we know? He didn't say that. How do we know? Why would the rabbis assume that he had ulterior motives over here? Why not say he was being a nice guy? So he answers with another yusud. That is, the pasuk says in Iyov that Ayir Pera Adam Yivale, that a person is born like a small wild donkey. He's born like unbridled. He's uncontrollable when a person's born, right? His midos, whatever, everything's wild, and it's up to the person to control himself, work on himself, learn more, so whatever. What happens if a person doesn't do that? He starts off as a pair of ayers, a little donkey. He starts off as a little donkey that's unbridled, and then if he doesn't work on himself, he grows up to be a big donkey that's uncontrollable, running after his tyrants or whatever, and bad minos. The person doesn't learn Musar, he says he turns into a wild person. So Mele says the same thing. He said, if you see a donkey that's walking along the path, and then it leaves the path, right? It goes off to the side. So what are you going to assume? Oh, he probably went to Daven Mincha. No. Why is he going there? He probably found some food over there. Oh, food. Yeah, left the path to go to the food. You don't assume he went to Daven Mincha. Why? The donkey. Right? Not concerned. So Mele says the same thing over here. Right? Og left his, where he was, went to Avram Avinu. Why was he doing that? Like I said, go Daven Mincha. He's going doing something special and to help save Lot. Nah, he's born a wild person. He grew up as a wild person. He never learned Musar. So what was Og doing? Must be he did that to marry Zara. See the same Yesod with the Yaakov Avinu. Right, Yaakov Avinu, he comes to Haran. And when he gets there, his uncle, his mother's brother, Lavan, comes running out to greet him. And he says, he hugged him, and he kissed him, and he brought him to his house. So what does Rashi say? He ran to greet him. Why did he run to greet him? Because he thought, hey, he probably is a rich guy, because he comes from Avram's family, where Eliezer came with all these donkeys, laden with all types of goodies. So he's probably a rich guy. So he ran out to see where his money is. He didn't see any money. So he hugged him. So he thought maybe, he'll touch and feel him. He's hugging him to see where feel his money. Nothing. So he kissed him. Maybe he's hiding something in his mouth, some pearls or whatever. Also didn't find anything. So then what do? Here, where he's hiding the money. So once again, he says, here we have this meeting, between this family, a very emotional family meeting between his old uncle, Lavan, and his nephew, Yaakov Avinu. After all this time, they come and greet each other. Why? How did the Chazal come along and make this into a very egotistical, selfish thing of Lavan that he wants? He's looking for money. Why would they do that? So again, it's the same word. He says, Lavan hat Musar gelernt. Right? Did Lavan learn Musar? Did he learn that he could learn to control himself? No! So therefore, he's the same Guru being, you know, he grew up like that, and he said he never learned Musar. So Mela, you can assume he's running and hugging and kissing Yaakov, not because he's a nice guy. Elamah, he's probably looking for his money. Pasuk says, Achar hadvarim ha'ela, after these things, meaning when Avram Avinu had conquered the kings, says, Hayad devar Hashem al Avram b'machazeh lemor. Hashem appeared to Avram and said, he said to him, Al tira Avram, don't be scared. Anochi magen lach sarcha harbe melech. So Chazal explained, meaning that Avram was scared. What was he scared about? He's scared that he lost his sachar in Olam Haba. Why? He says, Yeradati l'kiv shanesh v'nitzalti. I was went into the kiv shanesh by Nimrod and I was saved. Hashem saved me miraculously. Yeradati l'malekas amalachim v'nitzalti. I went to fight against the kings and miraculously I was saved. So he says, I figured I got all my schar ready in this world. I have nothing left. So Hashem says, don't worry, Avram, al tira, nochi magen lach. The targum of the Aramid, magen means chinam. Hashem says, don't worry, it's not coming off your cheshbon. It's a freebie. What I did for you was a freebie. It's not coming off your cheshbon. Scharcha harbe me'ol. Don't worry, you'll still have your schar. So he mentions over here, you see, an interesting har, and that is that when Avraham went into the furnace by Nimrod, it was not like he, you know, was doing it for his own kavod or anything. It was mamash l'kavod shemaim, you know, he fought against the Avodah Zarah and he's willing to die for it or whatever. It was a totally l'shem shemayim, l'chvot shemayim. And also, when he went to fight against the kings, what was that for? As we said before, to free Lot. Why free Lot? So besides being his nephew, but he was worried, because I'll say, about the chilul Hashem that might occur, because he understood that why did they want to take Lot captive? Why were they happy about taking? Because it says that Lot looked exactly like Abraham. Say in Hebrew, shteti put mine. They look exactly, it's exactly alike. And so their plan was to take Lot and pretend he's Avram, because he looks exactly like Avram. Says, hey, you see, Avram's God couldn't help him. We caught him. So that would be a big Chilul Hashem. And therefore, he wanted to take Lot out, so that shouldn't happen. Meaning, 100% Lifot Shemayim, because, you know, to save a Chilul Hashem, create a Kiddush Hashem, etc. Yet we see that even so, even though Avram's intent was completely altruistic, still, we see that he was worried that he was going to lose his char. And Mashma, he would have lost his char. And only because Hashem said, I'll give you a freebie. He didn't say, no, why should you lose your char? He didn't say that. He said, you're right. You really should lose your char because of the nace that happened. But I'm going to do a toiva for you, give you for free. We see from here that if it wasn't for that, he really would have lost it. That even though it was he did it l'shem shemayim. So what do we see? We see here the greatness of Avraham Avinu. That even though he knew that he was going to lose his schar, but he did it. He did it. Why? Because schar, no schar, whatever. I got to do what's l'shem shemayim. So listen. Brings here a story. We see the same idea. Once there was a city in Germany, there was a banker. He was a Jewish banker, but was totally fried, only non-religious banker, Jewish banker. And he had a son that became very ill. He had an only son. He had one son, Ben Yachid, and he became ill. He became very ill. He called all the doctors and professors and this went out. Nobody could do anything and looked very bleak. So, what did he do? He remembered that his father, whenever somebody was sick, whatever, he'd make a mishaberach in shul. So he decides, okay, so he quickly runs to shul and goes up to the gabbai, says, I need a mishaberach for my son, whatever. So there was a yid there from out of town, and he says, he asked him, what's the problem? He told him, he says, well, did you go to Tzanz? So he says, Tzanz? Well, what's in Sons? Is there a professor I missed or something? A doctor? You know, what's in Sons? He goes, no, what do you mean? Who is it? He says, the Wunder Rebbeiner is there. The Wonder Rebbe. He says, the Wonder Rebbe? Who's that? Yeah, the Sons of Rebbe. So he said, why? He says, yeah, he does Niflos. You know, yeah. can make miracles happen. So he says, that's interesting. So he comes home and he tells his wife what happened in Shul. So she says, yeah, so you got to go immediately to Tzanz. You got to go there. You got to go to the Wonder Rabbi, and you got to do something. It's our only hope. So he says, okay, fine. So he travels to Tzanz and he goes into the Rebbe. And so the Rebbe asks him, where are you from? From Germany, whatever. It's a town in Germany. He says, then what do you do? He says, I'm a banker. So he says, okay. He asks him, is your bank closed on Shabbos? So he says, no, of course not. Of course my bank's open on Shabbos. What are you talking? The day off is Sunday over there. Saturday, everything's open. And that's when people are mostly in the bank. And that's the biggest day. You know, of course my bank's open on Shabbos. What's the Shaila? So he says, okay, what about kashrus? Do you keep kashrus? So he goes, no, we don't have in my town, there's no kosher butcher or whatever. He says, what about taras mishpacha? You keep taras mishpacha? He goes, what's that? So he told him, he goes, no. So the Rebbe says, okay, listen, he says, I guess somebody led you astray because, I can't, there's nothing I can do, I can't really help you. So he said, oh, okay, I'm sorry to bother you. But he said, but I don't understand. So Nekun is a long lineup of your people. If you can't help, so what are these people here for? So he says, okay, let me explain to you, the Rebbe told him. He says that people understand that Tzaras come from really Shemayim. Right? The Tzaras come from Shemayim. And they come to me, the Daven, that I could, help, that, Hashem should help. And, he says, but in your case, what am I going to do? I'm going to dumb into Hashem, and that he should help you. Hashem's going to, what if Hashem asks me, Ha'im hu oser ratzoni shemevakesh yaser ratzono? Does this guy do my ratzon? Should I should do his ratzon? I should do what he wants? He'll do what I want, I should do what he wants? He said, no, he doesn't keep Shabbos, the kosher. So what am I going to answer? When Hashem says that to me, I'm asking you to help this man. Hashem says, look, he doesn't do what I want, I should do what he wants. So listen, he said, I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. If you promise to keep Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras Mishpacha, says your son will get better. I promise him. So the banker said, okay, listen. He says, Kashrus, okay, I can be a vegetarian. No big deal. Taras Mishpacha, okay, I'll talk to my wife, So, he said, but Shabbos, he said, I'm sorry, Rebbe. I can't close the bank on Shabbos. It's not Shaykh. I just can't. So the Rebbe says, okay, no deal. Fine. So they shook hands very, very cordially, and the banker went back home. So he got back home, and his wife said, no, what happened? And his son's mamish, on his deathbed. Mamish on his deathbed, last minutes of his life. And his wife says, so what happened? He says, that Rebbe is really hard to deal with, Why don't they deal with me if I keep Shabbos, and then our son will get better, but I told him it's fine. So he said, what? She said, you're a murderer. She says, you're a murderer. He says, what? He says, yes. He says, I don't understand you. He said, let's say the Rebbe would have said to go to, Italy to some doctor or something like that. Wouldn't you have closed up the shop, closed up the bank in order to save your son's life? The bank's more important than your son? What do you mean you're not going to get? Go right now immediately to the post office, send an urgent telegram to the Rebbe that you're makabel his three conditions, and right away. So he said, okay, fine. So he goes to the post office, sends the Rebbe a telegram, I accept on myself, Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras Mishpacha. Comes back home, no sooner is he walking in the house already, his son is starting to feel better. A lot. Anyways, he was completely cured, and of course he kept his condition, he closed his bank on Shabbos. But he didn't lose business because what happened? People started talking. Why is the bank closed on Saturday? And then word got out is because of what happened that they got a bracha from the Rebbe because of the bank. And when people heard this, they were so impressed that more and more people started to go to his bank, and ended up he didn't lose, he only gained from it. The end of the story is his wife, after this whole thing, has said to her husband, listen, did you pay the Rebbe? You go all these doctors, you pay all this money to see this doctor, that doctor. What about paying the Rebbe? After all, you cured our son, So he said, you're right. So he took 300 rubles, whatever, and went to the Rebbe, and went into him. He says, Rebbe, thank you so much. Here's the money. He goes, what's that for? He says, you go to a doctor, you pay, some... visiting fees, you know, paying you for the visit, you know. So he says, no, chas v'shalom, you know, I told you, I'm not a miracle worker. I just, I'm an agent, you know, between you and Hashem. I just don't, you know, make the agent. So he says, okay, Rebbe, here's agent fees, you know, here. So he goes, no, I don't want, it's okay, keep your money, you know, agent fees. He goes, no, he said, well, I'm going to come home, my wife's going to kill me. So you didn't give the Rebbe the money. So Rebbe says, okay, I hear. He says, I'll tell you what. He says, over there's the Beis Medrash. He says, go into the Beis Medrash and give out the money to these Avreichim. They deserve, you know, some extra money for learning. So you divide out, give out the money to the Avreichim in the kol. So he says, okay, fine, that's what I'll do. So he goes there, and of course, he's handing out his money. People are saying, what's this, you know? So they tell him the story. So one of the Avreichim heard this, and he goes, what? He runs into the Rebbe. He goes, Rebbe, I don't understand. He says, what? He says, Rebbe, I went in, my wife was sick. I came to you recently and asked you, you know, to help my wife. She's so sick or whatever. And you gave a little bracha or whatever, but you didn't, you know, like cure her. Like, he says, I don't understand. You only help Machalal Shabbos. You only help, why don't you help, I don't understand. Why don't you help me, my wife? So he said to, Rebbe said to him, listen. He says, you know, I'll explain. The Kosh Baruch Hu, he may make the gezerah. When Hashem makes a gezerah, who am I, says the Rebbe, to mevatel it? Hashem makes a gezerah, I can mevatel the gezerah. So when I do put my foot in, you know, and I say, well, and I go in there to try to mevatel, Hashem gets very, very angry at me. Says, who am I to butt in? And it creates very big anger against me. It's very, very not good for my situation. He said, but what? In this case, with the banker, I said, Beseder, but it's worth it. Fine, I shouldn't be angry at me. But what will happen? There'll be a bank that's closed on Shabbos in Germany. It'll make such a Kiddush Hashem in Germany. It's worth it. The anger, the Hashem will be angry at me. It'll be such a Kiddush Hashem in Germany. He says, but with you, okay, you know, give your wife, that's whatever. But, you know, who am I to, you know, mess in with Hashem's dealing? When it comes to Kiddush Hashem, I'll take the brunt. So, therefore we see that lesson, like we saw by Avraham Avinu, that even though it loses his car, whatever, but for Hashem Shemaim, to make Kavod Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, it's all worth it. We should all be Zoichet, Mekad Hashem Shemaim, Rabbim, Zoichet, Tobias, Kol Tzedek, and here we are.